I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the new normal. I'm Deborah Frances White. This is a guilty feminist show about life and feminism in lockdown. And today, my very special guest is Raven Smith. You may know him from his hysterical or his brilliant Instagram account that would give Oscar Wilde a run for his money were he on Instagram or in the Instagram market. He's got a new book out called Trivial Pursuits, which is very, very funny. I'll bring Raven on in a second when we've got more of a quorum. But in the meantime, the New Normal T-shirts are out and they are on demand, print on demand. 100% of the profit goes to the artist who has said the quote. And you can get them now if you go to guiltyfeminist.com and you look at our merch. They're called Stay at Home T-shirts. There are some really fun new ones as well. Let me see if Raven is there now. There he is. And waiting for Raven Smith in 5, 4, 3. I feel he's going to come. He's just going to snap into life. This is how television is made now. Cha-ching.
Hello.
There he is. Raven
you
Smith.
You got me.
The new normal.
How are you?
Do you know, I'm all right. It's Friday night.
Yeah.
I already had a cocktail because I had a Zoom call where someone sent me a cocktail on a bike.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, delivery. I got a delivery cocktail.
That is what I need. I've got a nice, long, tall glass of water.
I was too scared to have a second cocktail because I thought, I don't want to just come on and be like, Raven Smith, you're my best mate.
No, but I would love that too.
I've stayed at one cocktail.
Okay.
But I cannot lie to you, Raven, because I don't want to. There's no need. So early in our friendship, I don't want to bring betrayal in. So I'm going to be honest and say, as soon as I get off this, I'm having a second cocktail.
Yeah, of course. What was in your cocktail? Tequila?
It was a woo-woo.
Oh, that's a nice one. That's very, like, 2000. But, you know, they're coming back.
Well, anything 2000 now, that's retro. That's 20 years old.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I used to drink like pitchers of woo-woo when I was sneaking into pubs underage.
So nice.
Let's say I was underage in 2000s.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. I left university in the year 2000. That was my graduation year.
Yeah.
And I wasn't into woo-woos yet. Woo-woos became a thing that I had when I started having cocktail parties.
Yeah.
But my woo-woo recipe is not the real one. Everyone who
woo-woo
comes to my party
what's
knows.
What's your woo-woo?
My woo-woos are vodka, cranberry, and pink fizz. And ideally the cheap pink fizz from M&S that's actually called pink fizz. And it's really delicious and it's a sparkling cocktail. The real woo-woo, I think, is vodka, cranberry, and peach schnapps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I can remember. You know what? The thought of the taste of it transports me back to sunny Brighton in 2000.
Well, when we're allowed out and you're allowed to come over, I've got great hope, Raven, because my friend in Victoria said that in Australia said they're allowed 5 people around now.
Okay.
their pubs aren't open. They're allowed five people around. So that must mean that must be coming here soon.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll come over, especially if it's cocktail night.
It will be cocktail night. And I will transport you back to the year 2000. Britney will be the soundtrack. Yeah. Woo-woos will be in pictures.
Yeah.
I'll get at least one Spice Girl here.
Okay. We'll all just be relieved that we survived the Millennium Bug.
Yes, Y2K.
Midnight that was a terrifying virus. And the plane stayed in the sky.
Do you remember when that virus was going to bring the world to a halt?
Yeah, I've got this really vivid memory of an illustration in the face of, like, planes crashing out of the sky. Your video cassette player growing teeth and biting your legs off. But no, they just reset to zero.
Two of the kids I nannied for before I went to uni went to the Millennial New Year's Eve party dressed as millennial bugs.
Nice. Very chic. We were in Brighton and I didn't see a single firework. I just heard them. We were just in a crowd of people. I was 16, you know, it wasn't my...
Yeah.
I didn't know how to party.
Well, one of the children that was a millennial bug in 2000 when I was graduating, just about to graduate uni, is now a doctor, an NHS doctor during COVID, and the other one is a lawyer.
Okay. I feel like, in a way, I haven't succeeded since that night. Just on the back of that, I am not an NHS doctor.
You're not an NHS doctor. Oh, there's a third one who's actually in advertising, but I don't think he was a millennial bug, but there's a third child of that triumvirate. And he's very successful in advertising, but he's much more cool. Do you know what I mean?
I like a fancy dress party. The key is to just wear normal shoes. Otherwise, you'll peak. You'll just get irritated before.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that your tip for a fancy dress party?
Silly shoes are not for a long time.
You don't want to be standing up in uncomfortable shoes. But the thing is, you have to understand I'm a woman and my whole life is silly shoes.
Oh, then you probably got more stamina than me. But if I'm not in my trainers, I'll just be like, I've got to go home.
I just sit down at parties because of silly shoes.
Yeah.
Ali says here, I was in Edinburgh and met an old man called Donald McDonald. I made him show me his ID. Is this a millennial memory there, Ali? Or is this just last night? Because I don't know I think this must be the year 2000.
Edinburgh seems quite sort of, if you were going to be at the Fringe Festival, you might legitimately legally change your name to Donald McDonald and then you'd have the ID.
If you're going to meet someone anywhere in the world for Donald McDonald, it's Scotland, isn't it? If you said I was in Peru and I met a Donald McDonald, it's more stretching credulity.
Bit more of a surprise.
Scotland, half of the course. Par for the course.
Who's not called Donald McDonald in Scotland?
That's my only Ronald McDonald.
There's
William Wallace, and then that's it.
That's it. There's just a few people, and then
there's Sean Connery. He lives in Scotland.
I'm trying to think of more Scottish people. Was Gillian McKeith Scottish?
Don't conflict Scotland with Gillian McKeith.
Probably Gillian McKeith.
Robbie Burns.
Robbie Bird. This feels like a school test.
It really does. Somebody's asking, is there an audio of by you of your book? Are you Peter? Are you talking to me or Raven? In my case, there is. Yes, I will read my book to you. And Andrew Ando does the voices of anyone I interview. I mean, only one interview per chapter. But at the end of every chapter, I interview somebody because I want another perspective because feminism, you want it to be intersectional, you know, more voices.
Yeah.
And Billy Connolly, someone suggested both. So, Peter, the answer to my question is yes, I will read it to you as you fall asleep. Raven, I mean, you won't fall asleep because I'm reading it to you, but, you know, just that intimate in your ears at the end of the evening. Robbie Coltrane Junkle says, Lewis Capaldi. I mean, this is just goes on and on.
Lorraine
Kelly.
Lorraine,
we didn't even think of Lorraine Kelly. Do you know?
Gillian McKeith.
Well, the first year I went to Edinburgh as a solo comic, there was a story in a local tabloid that I looked like Lorraine Kelly, that a comedian was coming from London who looked like Lorraine Kelly.
That is an accolade and a half. Or the actress that plays Lorraine Kelly.
I do it from this angle. I'll tell you why they thought I did. It's because the producer hired somebody to do my photos that usually did Zoo and Nuts magazine, dating the story well.
Nice.
It was Lad Mag era. I think it was like 2007, something like
I've been thinking about that era a lot, but we can come back to that.
the noughties, they were called, for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
Mainly because Raven and I were so young and out on the town, woo-wooing it up left, right and centre.
Yeah.
And the zoo nuts photographer, the glamour mag photographer, even though I was a comic doing a show about mobile phones and stuff, climbed on a ladder, made me lie under the ladder and took a picture of me lying on the floor with the phones around my head. And it looked like, I've still got it, I do look like Lorraine Kelly, but I look like Lorraine Kelly started a very cheap sex line, like chat phone line.
This is really, this is very of the era.
So of the era. It was all these Nokia phones around me.
I remember so vividly Gail Porter getting projected onto number 10, onto Big Ben in her underwear.
That's
I remember it so well.
What was that for, though? Was it for a cause?
The launch of nuts or one of those little ones?
See, if that happened now, it would be about women's rights, mental health issues, queer rights. It would be about something. It wouldn't be the launch of...
Yeah, this was titillation. This was like, lads, go get it.
That's fantastic, because now that would be about free the nipple or something, wouldn't it? That would be an issue.
Yeah, she should probably redo it and re-empower it.
She could do it about alopecia now. She's a real activist now.
I don't know what to say to that. She is. I mean, she's phenomenal.
She is.
I remember her so vividly on, like, whatever she was on in the morning, CD UK or one of those.
She was naked, somebody says. I think she won the FHM something. Okay.
Yeah, so basically a lot of, like, children's TV presenters did a to transition into adulthood. Had to get naked. That was the way in the noughties, though. Yeah.
You wanted to get out of being a children's presenter because you realised you'd made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
You had to just get your kit off and project it onto a national monument. That was the law then, children.
It was in the BBC contract.
It was in. You were not allowed out at that point. Or you if you'd done to... cocaine off somebody ostentatiously, like Richard Bacon.
Yeah, so Bacon and... The boys had different rules, unsurprisingly. Yes. It was all like Hugh Grant on Sunset Strip vibes. It was a bit more like...
Yeah, the boys had to do a line and the girls had to get their tits out for the lads.
Those were the days.
And I missed those days in a way because they were simple. I'm a feminist, but...
We all knew where we stood.
We stood in terrible places that we didn't want to be, but we knew where we stood.
Nobody got cancelled.
No, I mean... That wasn't a good thing. People should have been. Anyone who lived through the noughties should have been cancelled immediately.
Yeah, the Millennium Bug should have been a clean slate for us all.
Somebody's asking, so firstly, do you have an audio of your book?
I do. Ravensmith's Trivial Pursuits has an audio book available at all good audio retailers.
But none of the crap ones. No, it's all over.
If you get the Audible one, there's an interview with me at the end with my editor talking about all my little
peccadilloes.
Quite.
Yeah. What a great word. Somebody says I've seen the future. I'm not going as the title. I don't know. This is, we get a lot more questions than normal. We don't normally get. This is a my question show. I've set questions, but here someone says we're just going off piece because it's Friday. I'm going to have a cocktail. Raven, you seem to write very personally. Is there anything else you choose to not write about that's too personal?
Yes, loads. Oh my god.
What would you not write about because it was too personal? I think I'm going to make myself a cocktail while we speak. I can't hold out.
The thing is, for me, is the things that I least want to write about tend to be the best pieces that I write. So it's trying to find that squelchy spot where I'm like, I don't want to talk about being a mixed-raced person trying to navigate being gay and 16, 15 and all of that stuff. And actually, they're my more kind of resonant pieces.
Well, this is the thing. So here's the question in that case. I think one of the powerful things about what you're doing, I say, as I make a cocktail that was sent to me on a bike, like some kind of...
It's now my hat.
...diva.
Yeah.
What is this? This is a cocktail ready to top up raspberry mule vodka, and then you put some... I don't even know. Did you just make these two bottles?
It's not quite a miniature from the fridge, is it, that one? That's a barrel.
It's just two. Okay, all right. So I think I've got enough battery to go outside now, so I'm going to take you outside.
Okay.
But I am going to... This is highly unusual, but...
You've got a Van Gogh hat. It's on.
You're the only person that I've ever gotten into the bath with on a house party call as well.
Oh, that was
a good night. Normal. It was a good night. Cheers.
I love a good... Oh, cheers. Here's my long glass of water.
As you've been described yourself.
A tall glass of water, quite. Mm. But yeah, most of my writing is trying to just be as brutally honest as I can. That is like when I feel like it's really singing.
I think one of the powerful things about you, though, Raven, is that you don't, interestingly, in this confessional era, where people brilliantly talk about the intersections of their diversity, you do not really talk about it. You just kind of live it, and you show not tell, which I think is very compelling, because you're very rare for that now. You actually do have quite a naughty sensibility, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah.
You're just out living the life, living la vida loca.
Oh, I was.
And reporting back. Oh, yeah. I mean, now you're living la vida lockdown. Yes, obviously.
Absolutely.
Indeed. So I should start asking you some of the new normal questions.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You feel like you're part of this long, glorious tradition of new normalers.
I just want you to know that my research for this was to read the questions and think to myself, how am I going to answer them? And then close the questions.
This is good. To be honest, I don't send everybody the questions just out of incompetence. It's not deliberate. I just sometimes I think, oh, I don't think I even sent them the questions. So some people are right off the cuff. Some people like to prepare. Some people don't. You will not be the first person to be to ad-libbing.
Okay.
I meant to say extemporizing, and then I couldn't remember the word. My cat's wandering around and crying. What's wrong, darling? I'm on the television, sweetie. Okay, so...
Okay.
So first question, Raven.
Yes.
How the hell are you?
How am I? Good at the moment. I think I lost my column a week ago. So
your Sunday Times column.
Yeah. So I've been feeling, this is not what this is about, but I felt really knocked back by it. So I've managed to survive most of lockdown and watch other people I know losing jobs, etc. And I've made it 10 weeks without any real failures or things going wrong. So this has been, it's been a real, like,
is it just because the Sunday Times can't afford it? Because
just life, mate. What happens is, you know, columns are a chess game, journalism is a chess game, pieces just move, and I've just sort of suddenly in a bit of the board is my oyster, as it were. So I had a bad start to the week.
Possible they dropped you because you mixed your metaphors by saying things like the board is my oyster.
But they probably got rid of me based on nearly every piece I've written for
not them. True your columns nearby. Are your columns are genius.
But I think failure for me has always been like initially tough as hell, and then you just bounce back. And I've been so not blessed, but like I've been on such a winning streak, and it was eventually not just going to be win, win, win all the time. And I think for me, normally what I do when I'm feeling not myself, feeling not very funny, feeling it's like any breakup, regardless of how mutual it is, I feel like really self-reflective. What did I do wrong? What did I do right? It was never right in the first place. All of those normal breakup feelings, I was just going through the motions of those. And still think of it very fondly. But I think for me, normally, when I'm feeling flat and downbeat, I just go for a swim, I go for a walk, I hang out with my good mates. And that's just how I stay on a level of normalcy. And that's just not allowed at the moment.
No,
so it just lasted a lot longer than I thought it would before I started to feel like, what next?
Sorry? Your coping strategies are illegal, sadly.
All of them, yeah.
So, yeah. Do you have any new coping strategies? Is there anything you're doing in lockdown where you think, oh, well, if I do this, I feel a bit better, or if I have this routine, I'm okay? Is there anything you've discovered?
I've dialed up all of my nice things I do via my phone, so load more audiobooks, I was thriving at the beginning of all of this. I was cooking a lot more. Like, we're renovating our house, so we've been living in other people's houses whatever, staying in different places. So we've just been living off Deliveroo, and it was so nice to be cooking from scratch again and be like, we could, what should we do with the sweet potato instead of scrolling on Deliveroo? But that lost its edge about 2 weeks ago. I'm not that bothered about cooking. I dream of going to, of reading a menu and deciding based on my gut feeling what I want to eat, and then it arriving, just having no idea what it's going to be. And then it just, yeah.
Can you imagine how wonderful that's going to be?
Yeah. But I've been feeling a lot better. I was a bit blue, obviously. And then I feel much more kind of like thinking about the future again. Like, feel much more Christmas cardy. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Hope and tidings and comfort and joy and all those things. They don't feel... I feel less like fatalistic and more like, oh, okay, what do we do next?
Well, that's a good thing, because we are by no means the people in the world who are, you know, at the cold face of Corona and the lockdown.
No.
You're going to be fine. How's your renovation going?
I will, knock on wood, be at home in a month. It's like walls and floors now, but nearly everything is in. The builders came out of isolation in order to fit the back doors, because it was basically a cavity at the back of my house for ages, which is just not livable. It's looking livable.
So you can see the light at the end of the tunnel now.
Oh yeah. Do you know what? I can't believe how long it looks like a building site, but how quickly it turns into a building site, and how long it takes for it to actually look like a place you can sleep without coughing up chalk dust eventually.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's feeling much more kind of hopeful. Yeah.
It'd be nice to be feeling you're having breakfast somewhere that isn't going to give you long-term health complications into old age.
Yeah. It's quite like, I don't know what to compare it to, but also I've missed my cat. He lives with my parents now, so he will be back living with us. It will be...
So you're going to have your cat, your own kitchen.
My clothes. I'm living out of like a travel suitcase. It's been... and also... completely manageable, but just very, like, quite irritating all the time. Yes. Hard to lift out of that, being like, I wish I had a fourth pair of pants. This would make my week much easier. Seven pairs of knickknacks would make my week just fly by.
Would you have gone into a renovation period if you'd known about the lockdown?
No, but it's been 8 months. So it's just tipped over.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably good that you've done it, because at some point it's some point you'll be in. When you're in, you forget about it. It's like it never happened.
I heard it's like, I think I'm just going to sleep for a week, but in my own bed.
We've done two lots of building work. At the time, it is never going to end, and it's impossible to imagine. And then, you know, listen, 2 months down the line, you won't even be appreciating it anymore. You'll just be like, yeah, this is where I live. It's magic.
It'd be nice to be locked down in a new house that I own, rather than very kind friends looking after me.
At the moment, are you staying with friends?
My friend doesn't live in his house in London full time, so we're just staying at his house.
Mm. Well, that's a very sweet deal.
Yeah, it's very lucky, very fortunate at this point.
Have you got anything that you've been reading, watching, that you could recommend to us?
Yes, let me think. What did I love watching? I've been watching a lot of stuff that I'm like, this is fine. I'll just carry on. I've been watching like Ashes to Ashes. Just like, yeah, give me another episode of that. I loved Unorthodox.
I loved Unorthodox. Really loved Unorthodox.
Feels like forever ago that I watched it. But I really loved it. And I've been on a real binge of like 90s film thrillers. So I've been watching like Single White Female, and what's the one where Sharon Stone keeps opening her legs?
Basic Instinct.
Basically,
can I recommend?
Yeah,
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
I watched it. It's on Now TV. Do you know what I love about these thrillers? They're actually really well built out, and the last scene is just ludicrous. Always ludicrous.
Yeah, there's always a big. They come. You think they're dead. They come back. Their hand comes up.
And it's always
usually a fight to the death between two women, ideally.
Yeah. It's normally the woman who's been cheated on gets revenge on the woman. Sorry, that's me.
Or the
That's my 20%. I also really, and I what else was I watching? I just think Michael Douglas is like, he is a psychosexual thriller. That is who he is. Everything
to
he's
the
done
core.
Is like sexy.
He's a psychosexual like, thriller of a man, of a human.
Yeah, literally. Everything he's in, I'm like, this is, Michael really found his niche.
Can I recommend a new feminist watch?
Yes, please.
It's called Mrs. America.
Oh.
And it's about feminism in America in the 70s. So Rose Byrne plays Gloria Steinem, a very young, very beautiful Gloria Steinem. I mean, Gloria Steinem's so beautiful now. I mean, she's exceptional.
Yeah.
But she was, you know, so she's being played by Rose Byrne. Cate Blanchett is playing a sort of anti-women's lib woman running for the Senate. It's really, really some quality feminist women against women being women sort of being pitted against each other in a landscape of women's rights changing. And there's some beautiful performances, and it's got that sense of camp that anything in the 70s has that will appeal to you, Raven.
Okay, good. I'm in. I mean, Cate Blanchett is a goddess. There is no one.
She's much like loved her. By the gay men.
Oh man, she's just. Why is that? Has she done any particularly like?
Why? Well, let me ask you. Let me throw that back to you.
Yeah.
Why do gay men love Laura Dern so much? There is like an obsession about Laura Dern.
I speak for every gay man, but Jurassic.
Well, I'm asking you too. I'm specifically asking you to speak for every gay man. Why do you all love, all of you, not one that doesn't, Laura Dern?
Let me get on my WhatsApp group with the other gays and do
can
a
you?
Straw
with all
poll.
The other gays in the world.
Jurassic Park is my favourite film of all time, like bar none.
You think, I mean, is it a gay man into dinosaurs? I don't feel that's it.
No, but she's so good in it that it's always she's always like stayed with me. I always want to dress like Dr. Ellie Sadler in the summertime. Oh.
She's got a thing about her, hasn't she? But she played Ellen's girlfriend, and she got...
Did she?
She was unemployable for a while because anyone who was in that whole Ellen's girlfriend thing in America couldn't handle it. America was not ready for a lesbian on the television, clearly.
No.
And she, in general, also, I think she's just got this incredibly high camp about her, and she's got this this glorious way with emotion. And she's also very held and very beautiful.
Yeah.
She's got that appeal. Anyway, so I recommend, highly recommend, Mrs. America. Can I ask you, do you have a piece of activism? Something we can help you with? Get behind. Who do you care about other than yourself, Raven Smith? Share it with us and we will
That's
help
a good
you.
Question.
Help them.
What a fantastic question.
Yes.
I've been really bad in terms of outward projection. I've been very internalized.
This is your chance. This is your opportunity.
No, this is me getting out of the question.
It's going to make you feel like you've got so much purpose when you say, is there an LGBTQ group that we can help get behind, amplify?
All of them.
We're going to need more. We're going to need a specific. You can't just say all of them.
All of them. Maybe someone will comment one very quickly.
Okay. Help Raven care about young gay
Calgary
people.
Listeners, please
write to your local councillors. Oh my god, this have you heard about this thing in Calgary?
No.
Okay. In Calgary on Monday there's a vote to ban conversion therapy. And so if you are in Calgary, I did a shout out, ahoy guilty feminists from Canada, to everyone in Canada should be promoting this. But I'm like, why is this still a thing? And then someone said, it's still a thing in Britain, it's not banned here, you can do conversion therapy here. They were going to ban it.
Really?
Okay, here's some suggestions.
LGBT homeless youth, I mean, yeah,
yes, but is there 100%. Is there an organization? Albert Kennedy Trust.
I would always just say Albert Kennedy Trust.
Yeah, so Albert Kennedy Trust is LGBT homeless youth.
Yeah.
And so we can make a story of that. And also people are saying NHS pay rise. Trussell Trust for food banks.
I find that Captain Tom thing so depressing that this man is having to make money for a publicly funded organisation. It's really fucking good on him. 100% behind the endeavour.
And we're all
makes me sad.
But...
And when you look at the statistics of what they... would have spent that money on like botched jabs. You know, it's just really, I just wish more of our money that we're paying in taxes was going to the NHS, and this man was just, you know, enjoying being 100.
Yeah. Enjoying being 100. That could be your
enjoy
t-shirt.
It.
I don't know if you know this, Raven, but yeah. You're thrilled, especially in the light of your recent Sunday Times column, going else in a different direction. I feel really bad telling you this, but they asked me if I wanted it, and I was like,
just take
can
it.
I do that to Raven? They did it, but I was like, this is a really awkward moment. It. No. They haven't asked me. They have not asked.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're brilliant. It was a proper love affair. It's not. It's just, you know, the day in the sun, the sun sets.
I mean, sometimes things come to a natural conclusion. You'll probably get one for the Guardian or something. So someone says, can you enjoy being 100? Asking for a friend. No, you'll
you
enjoy this.
Pretty
so,
chill. So, yeah.
I mean, I would. I'd really chill out at that point. He got knighted out of it. What would Raven wear if he got knighted? Your audience are on this. I tell you, we don't get asked these questions. This is your...
What would I wear if I got knighted? Definitely my Adidas trainers. I don't think I could wear posh shoes. Do you know, I heard this thing with David Sedaris. There's so many rules on what you are and aren't allowed to wear if you go to Buckingham Palace. Is it a
I'm
Buckingham
pretty sure you're not allowed trainers. You're not going to be allowed to wear trainers.
No, you have to wear... Like, he was just going around asking everyone if they were wearing new shoes because he had to buy new shoes.
Comfortable dress shoes, I would say. But I would see you in a red velvet suit.
I would wear that. It's quite... That's quite red nose day. But
no. Not the one you'd wear. Not the classic
A red suit is very... Someone said, what did you want to be when you grew up? And I was like, Lenny Henry in a red suit presenting Red Nose Day.
Oh,
like,
nice.
It's all I wanted when I was a kid.
Nice. Someone says, I'm in Calgary. Yeah. All councillors have said they'd vote to ban. More places still have it than you'd think. Oh, okay. So that is going to go through.
Good.
I can't believe we need to do something about that here then. We need to get that banned here. Definitely a velvet suit, someone says. Maybe green.
Oh, I'd definitely wear a green one.
Yes.
I've got the most beautiful green suit in my studio that I'm not going to at the moment. So.
It's a sad day. Someone's saying, how can I get her holiday aura? I assume you're talking about me. Well, what you need to do is sit outside, even if it's on your doorstep, with a cocktail in a deep martini glass and a straw hat. And ideally, like, this is a snakeskin dress. I'm not wearing a bra. Now, that's what you're really reading. That's the real holiday
vibe. That's Friday.
It's just all out there. It's all out there.
You're out in the breeze. Shooting shit in the breeze.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So we'll make some stories up on your behalf.
Okay,
with,
great.
For LGBTQ youth.
Well, I just think the Albert.
But I do think
always.
You should get a charity of choice and connection, because people ask you this, you've got influence. And you could be using that influence.
You're correct.
To help young LGBTQ people, and I bet a lot of young
I often get invited to charity stuff, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. But I'm not really aligned with anyone in particular, but this is my chance.
This is your chance. Okay.
This regrouping is the chance.
Okay. All right. I am going to pitch you one and see if here we can make some kind of commitment. So I think you're going to love it. You're going to love
it. How can I say no? Okay.
Well, this is the reason I'm asking you live. I'm not an idiot. I got inclusive language. I'm no fool. So I met this incredible man called Aloysius.
Yeah.
Quite a gay name, if you ask me, because
I am already a fan.
You're already a fan because Aloysius is, why is Aloysius such a gay name in your mind?
Well, it's the bear from Brideshead.
Yes, Sebastian Flight's bear from Brideshead Revisited. Thank you for knowing that.
You're welcome.
I mean, I assumed he would, but But Aloysius is actually from Uganda. And this is where it takes a sad turn away from Brideshead Revisited and the amusing bear.
Okay.
So Aloysius was granted political asylum in Britain because he was tortured for being gay in Uganda. Yeah. So he was in Uganda. He came to Britain as a student, studied here. When he went back to Uganda, took safe sex for gay men pamphlets and smuggled them into his luggage because he was trying to sort of do some underground LGBTQ work in Uganda.
Yeah.
He was discovered with these pamphlets and tortured. Somehow managed to get back to the UK and got political asylum because he'd been tortured. And now he works tirelessly. Not only does he work for the NHS, of course he does. I think he's an NHS nurse. But he also runs the Say It Loud Club. And Say It Loud is for LGBTQ refugees and asylum seekers, specifically people who have fled because of persecution in other countries because of queerness.
Yeah.
And when they get here, often they need help, partly because sometimes the Home Office says, well, you might just be saying you're gay. Well, maybe you inflicted those 48 burns on your back on yourself, like stuff like that. And I had Aloysius and an incredible woman who was also from an African country on the podcast on The Guilty Feminist. And I remember them being incredible, but saying sometimes the Home Office will say things like, you don't look like a lesbian. You haven't got short hair.
Fantastic work.
And firstly, a lesbian does not have to have masculine or androgynous gender expression to be a lesbian. But secondly, some of the asylum seekers will say, I would do, but if I were to do that in my country, I would immediately, but I'd be killed. If I had the masculine gender expression you might associate with lesbians in your stereotyping, I would not be able to walk around. There were two men, they said, that were, I think it was like they were arrested for drinking white wine spritzers or something like that.
Oh, that is miserable.
Okay. Yeah, and that's not a very masculine.
Say It Loud.
Yeah, so the Say It Loud Club.
That's very my brand as well. So
you are very Say It Loud.
This feels
like a good alliance. And they are, Aloysius, when you meet him, you will die. He is so adorable and sweet and gorgeous and he's just a really good person. But they help, it's like hundreds of people a month, connect and get legal help, find community. And a lot of what they're doing is helping queer people from countries where it has literally been illegal and a pain of death. You could get beaten up, you could get killed in the street, or you could get, the judiciary system could mean that you could be put to death.
Yeah.
To find an ability to come out, even though you're in the UK, it's not an overnight process.
Mm.
And a Christmas before last, we let our flat out to refugees at home, because we were going up north where we go up to Christmas at Lancashire with family.
Yeah.
And this chap turned up. His name was Ari. He was Kurdish. And he had to leave Iraq because his family had found out he was gay. And he said they were going to kill me. And I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, that night, the first night he was with us before we left, and then he stayed in the flat over Christmas. The first night we took him to a Grace Petrie concert. Do you know Grace Petrie? She's a lesbian protest folk singer. She's
I do know her songs.
She was hosting a Christmas show, and there were loads of like gay, lesbian. Basically, it was lesbian punk bands. Really, was the vibe.
Yeah.
And there was this lesbian punk band. I can't remember their name now, but they were singing the song. Someone will know. They were singing a song and the chorus went, I want to kiss you in the street where everyone can see. And everyone was jumping up and down and singing it. And Ari was standing next to me and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, are you allowed to sing this here? He was like, I can't believe this is legal. Because he could see all these same-sex people like holding hands and singing this song. And I said, yeah. And I said, the fact that they're singing the song tells you, it's quite a defiant song, tells you that it's still not always easy, but it's very much legal. And he was so moved by it. Like he was just, and he kept looking up the lyrics of everyone's songs, like Grace songs, so he could follow along and read it. Because his English was incredible. He had actually translated a book of Sylvia Plath poetry. Wow. He was a lawyer and a part-time model.
These are all big ticks.
Big ticks, lawyer, part-time model, and was Sylvia Plath translated to English. So, I mean, an incredible man. But it's hard to hear songs and understand them if it's your second language. And so he was looking up the lyrics, but he was so moved by it. And it was an incredible time actually meeting him, and we made him a Christmas stocking. And Steve, who's Syrian, who lives with us, who's our family, he's also a refugee, made him a Christmas stocking. And it was really, really moving. And so this charity helps people find pride and the ability not just to say I'm gay, but to say I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be a great match for you because you're so flamboyant.
Yeah, it sounds good. I feel like I should probably get behind it.
Okay, so today's charity is Say It Loud. As Say It Loud. Sponsored by Raven Smith.
Sponsored.
I mean, yeah.
Say It Loud, sponsored by Raven. Endorsed by Raven Smith. Very
endorsed. Endorsed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, Raven, I should get back to you. Have you had a...
No, I just know.
Have you had a... and we ask this question every day because everyone's live streaming their best moments and not talking about their low moments. Have you had a low moment during this that you would be happy to talk about? Because it really encourages people. Have you had any sort of real sadnesses? Or thank you, Emma. Emma Gannon just said I look fabulous. Sorry, I do care about your low moments.
Oh, we're back to you.
Sorry, darling.
No, wait.
I really want to know about your low moment. But can we just take a second to embrace Emma Gannon saying I look fabulous? Sorry, Raven.
Right. For me, I was feeling crap about my column. I don't want to focus on only that at the moment. But I also think I've just felt it's... What's my lowest point then? I think I feel like I had corona style virus quite early on, whether or not I've had it or not. So that time before that, the fear of getting it was really very, very, very stressful.
Do you think you've had it now, though? You think you're probably immune?
Yeah, but then, I don't know.
How did you lose your taste and smell? Because that's apparently you didn't.
I had a fever for 3 days. I don't really get sick. It's like very kind of...
It sounds like you might have fever's the big one.
Yeah, 3 days I didn't get out of bed, but then I felt fine. But then I read that even if you have antibodies, you still get it again, you just have no symptoms. So it doesn't seem great.
No, it doesn't seem ideal.
But so I'm not really, I'm not a very kind of sad person, and that's not to say that people choose to be sad at all, but I'm
much more likely
to get angry than sad, which my husband will attest to. I'll be like, I won't be like, So there's a level of like, I've been getting angry a lot.
That's sometimes how men process sadness through anger, because sadness is not socially available to them, they feel. So that could be
an exhibition of sadness. I'd be much more likely to become very wound up by something and irritated and annoyed to a stupid degree than to be like, I feel sad.
Yeah.
But I listened to this great podcast with Jeremy O. Harris, and he was saying if you can sit up taller having moved through something, then that is the only goal. That's its own achievement. If you can just have moved through it somehow, then you can sit taller on the other side.
Well, that's a really lovely thing to take away. And I was telling you before, but somehow we got interrupted. I don't know that something you say will be made into an on-demand print-on-demand T-shirt, and you will get 100% of the profits because it goes to the artist. And you can, if you're all right for money, you can nominate. But given you just lost your column, all of the profits will go to you, 100%.
Okay, great.
So sit taller on the other side could be it.
Yes.
Sit taller on the other side.
Oh, great, someone else. But yes, sit taller on the other side.
Sit taller on the other side could be it. Or of course, it could be renovating my
What's
flat.
What's in your woo-woo, someone has said.
I mean, it's a good question.
I'm not sure that should be on the T-shirt. What's in your woo-woo?
No. Has he said anything else that... has Raven said anything else that you would like on a T-shirt? Because sometimes we ask the audience what they're going to buy.
What have I said so far?
You've said... renovating's a nightmare. I mean, that's a very accessible T-shirt. Loads of people will buy those. You've said the noughties were my era. I've only got 3 pairs of pants.
I'm not going to watch this back.
I'm living out of a suitcase.
I've only got 3 pairs
of stuff
pants.
Like that you said.
That is my vibe.
Yeah. What about, I've just lost my Sunday Times column. I mean, what the fuck? It's a very relatable T-shirt. Loads of people would buy those.
My life is so relatable. Things I try and write
so
about.
Many levels of relatable.
Second, I open my mouth, I'm like, here's something very niche that's happened to me that is not relatable to anybody.
Now, can I ask you, is there anything in your temporary house that you would like to show us? You haven't got a picture for us, sadly.
We're in the temporary house, but I cannot more greatly recommend... Yahtzee.
Oh,
this is it.
Okay, get up.
eBay's finest.
Wow.
Backwards.
Russell Tovey said that this is what I saw. I read his My Splendid Isolation in the Telegraph, and he said he's playing board games and kicking his boyfriend's ass
We used to play loads of card games in the evenings, but then Yahtzee took over. Chance and strategy and numbers is just the dream kind of mix.
Nice.
A very friendly and militant sense of competition.
Friendly and militant.
It's quite aggressive.
Friendly but militant's a good T-shirt. Someone here is suggesting
friendly
I'm not
militant.
A sad person.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I'm...
that is very me.
Yeah, friendly but militant is great. Is there any other... Are there any new habits you may take through from this? Like, is it because you're doing so many Zoom calls, you think, oh, I'm going to keep that. I'm not going to schlep into all these meetings. Oh, I'm going to grow my hair out. Is there anything you're doing now that you think, I wish I'd been doing this all along, or I'm not going to go back to the old way?
I do touch on this in my book, but my desire for stuff coming in to my life has always been like voracious. I've had such an appetite for new things, and this time of like I'm essentially living with 3 t-shirts and a few pairs of pants. I don't want loads of stuff anymore. I'd like stuff that has real meaning to me personally.
I know what you mean.
I'm finding being on Twitter very stressful, and I just don't know if that is something I can continue to do in the future.
On other WhatsApp groups going, I'm off Twitter now, I can't do it. A friend of mine
is so angry.
Came off it.
It's so angry out there. Everyone's talking about this like freedom from lockdown, but I think there's going to be like people are pent up and angry. I think it's going to be aggressive.
Yeah,
I'm not
I
looking
agree.
Forward to being out on that night. I will be home.
Unfriendly but militant. That's Twitter.
People are gunning for each other. People want a fight. They will decimate teaching staff. They will go for anyone who has had a child, anyone who hasn't. It is an absolute battleground. They will go for Alison Roman because she is like everyone is ready
for a fight.
To shoot bullets when the second they see weakness, they're ready. And
I'm
it's worse than ever.
Fight.
And I think it's because we are just so focused on our phones. There's nothing else. So this kind of, I've just got to this point in a way that it feels like there's no good deeds anymore. Anything good that people do is just destroyed because of their privilege or their money or their lack of being able to see all the intersections of the point that they're making. So I would like to see people endeavor to do good stuff and just see them, see other people say thank you, not say it's only 0.0000% of your billions, you nasty CEO. It's like, let's try and just everyone do good things.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And it's possible to make a play for serious change while taking a moment to go, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, and to sort of go, we really like what you've done there. Now, could you do something over here? Is more likely to get change out of somebody, I think, than just going, you know, you're a bastard. But
that
the whole thing probably does need to be flipped, because it does concern me that billionaires decide they don't pay tax. They decide, they say, oh, no, but I'm a philanthropist. I'm like, you're deciding how your tax dollars are spent, actually.
Yeah.
But you decide. So in the future, billionaires will decide what's cured and what's not. What's prioritised and what not. And it is concerning. But I agree. I don't think the anger is always really about that. I think the anger is people are angry and then they go on Twitter to find someone to throw the anger at. And
I don't think...
Oh, you're frozen.
It's like... Am I frozen?
Oh, you're back.
Am I frozen?
No, you're back.
I don't think people are like, who am I? I'm angry. It's like just this bullet time reactive nature of it that means people are just getting decimated when they're trying to do good stuff, and I'm like, oh mate, this
I agree.
It's tough.
Let's take a moment
for the casualties.
Anything about this that gives you hope for humanity, where you think, oh, maybe this is going to be a turning point for us and we are going to get better at any of this stuff,
The environment would be great. I think people were going to swarm Venice the second they get a chance, though, to be completely honest. But I also think there will be, hopefully, more compassion. I think everyone has suddenly realised how blinkered you are to all the people around you all the time that actually feed you so much, whether you know them or not. That part of being in a group. I always think of, like, the Roman Forum. I always think about gang clubbing and being like, it's like we're all this beating heart. We're this one organism in a club or in a party. It's like we're all beating at the same time. And I just love, and it's not that I just want to go out clubbing, but there's something about us people being together in the flesh, which is so necessary for all of us. It's not like I'm never going to get on the tube again and be pissed off that it's crammed. But the next time I get on the tube, I won't be.
You'll appreciate it for up to 10 days, I would say.
Yeah, maybe.
Up to and including 10 days.
If I tweet about it and get torn to shreds, I'll be over it in nanoseconds.
Yeah, exactly. It could be up to 4 hours or up to 10 days. It'll be one of those. Between 4 hours and 10 days, you'll be like, this is amazing. And then you'll be like, what am I doing here?
But also, just having been on WhatsApp with my mates and with loads of different groups of people, and that being a way to keep in touch with people when you have a busy life, now it's suddenly like, I can't wait to see these people in real life and not have any agenda. Just be completely with my mates.
I suspect we'll come off our phones when we go back into meeting each other for a while. I think there'll be no phones in the pub. People will just be happy to leave their phones in their bags or their pockets for a while. I mean, again, between 4 hours and 10 days.
Yeah, I think it will be short.
What has it been like launching a book during this?
Ooh, it's been not a roller coaster. We were kind of building up to the launch day, and then lockdown officially came in maybe 4 days before it was meant to, before the launch. So all the live events got cancelled. It was very weird, but because I've never written a book or launched one before, I've got nothing to compare it to. Can't say, oh, it would have been different. It would have been different, but I can't tell you if it would have been more successful, less successful. I think I would have spent a lot more time with people who had read it and were enjoying it out loud.
Right. Are people enjoying it though because they've got more time to stay at home and read it? It seems to be doing well. I can see a lot of buzz about it. Everyone's enjoying it.
It's absolutely very because it's so reflective, it's called Trivial Pursuit. So it's about all of the small things that we fill our life with. So things like corona or famine or war are, of course, massively important, but they're not necessarily what we're filling our lives with every day. And what I was trying to do was reflect on all those tiny things that make up religion, whether that's Yahtzee or cocktails or a glass of water and the glasses that you've chosen to buy, the glasses that you wear, etc., etc., all the small stuff. And now suddenly my book, it feels like this like time capsule of pre-corona.
Yeah.
What were we doing?
You say that, but also in lockdown, some of these very small things have become incredibly important because it's all we can control and it's
Absolutely.
All we've got. So I would suggest that there is something like now people trying to perfect baking bread or something like that is because there isn't, there aren't all these distractions. So I'm just going to read you some reviews here that have come up on the comments.
Oh!
Yeah. Just received your book in the mail here in Canada and I'm eating it up. Incredible. Smiley face. Libby
Thank
says
you.
One of the funniest things I've ever read and all my mates feel the same. Thank you, Libby Gunner.
Thank you, Libby.
Somebody else who says yes, loved the book. We love it.
Yes.
People clapping, people thumbs up. Just ordered it into Brooklyn. Did you order it just because you've
seen
Raven here?
Oh, get it to Brooklyn. Oh, so
do you know Ben?
I know Ben.
You know Ben. Ben, why haven't you ordered it before if you know Raven?
I know everyone. The whole crew's here.
The whole gang is here. Well, I've read it too. And in fact, I read some of it in the bath, which is a theme. I don't really bath for anyone else, Raven. I don't know Raven very well.
It was a magical moment for me.
It's just, there was a house party. I think it was week one or two. And I was really like, in a really altered state. And I just thought my bath had run. My food had turned up. I was just like, oh, I don't want to come off this house party. It was Raven and five women in the media.
Yeah.
Very glamorous women I don't know who they were. And I'll never see them again, I'm sure. And yeah. I just thought, I'm going to get in the bath. And then, but I thought the phone could cropped
you
at a
certain
place.
You thought the crop was here.
Yes, because that's what I could see on my screen. But on
that's
other people's screens.
The crop was maybe here.
Okay, so apparently everyone else could see my tits. I did not know that.
Wapsy, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, fantastic.
They're perfectly nice tits. I'm fine with it.
The best thing about those early days of house party was going into other rooms that you weren't meant to be in.
Yeah.
I
don't really go on house party anymore. But I never think about going on it. But the first couple of weeks I was on it the whole time.
I was
lovely
just
tits.
Storming into
Thank
rooms
you.
As I much as I would at a real house party.
Yeah, I think it's great. I might go on it tonight. In fact, I've got a friend who's got a birthday, so I have to go on it tonight.
I might sneak in the room. I'll be like, wait.
Sneak in the room.
Once
I get
another tequila down me.
That would be so great.
Yeah.
And finally, firstly, everyone who's watching this, please buy Raven's book. It's really, really great.
Oh, yes, please.
It's a really fun, but very joyful, very, very wittily, charmingly written book. I have actually just recommended it in my Splendid Isolation in the Telegraph.
Thank you.
It's my, I have, on every section, I've got a guilty fave and a feminist fave. I will admit to you, it is the guilty fave.
It's got a few guilty moments, I think.
My feminist fave is Natalie Haynes' A Thousand Ships, which is a feminist retelling of the Trojan War.
Oh.
And you're the guilty fave, so for my book section. I can't remember, I refer to you in the Telegraph as a Wildian libertine.
Oh, thank you. I've changed my bio.
I think it's Wildian. I think I said something like, if they printed in full, a Wildian libertine with, it's something like, I can't remember, but I rewrote it a couple of times, but it's something about your Instagram. And I say that your book is a naughty little firecracker.
Oh, it really is. It is punchy, isn't it?
But I put it in there partly so that then you could say a naughty little firecracker, the Telegraph. They may have already said something else about
it. I nearly said thank you, baked potato.
Have they already given it 5 stars? Am I late to the party?
Oh, I don't even know. I'm so sorry. I don't know. Probably.
How do you not know? I know all my reviews for my book.
I made the cardinal, apparently, author mistake of reading the Amazon reviews.
Oh.
This is something no one told me beforehand that you never do.
Oh, I don't know if I have read my Amazon reviews. I think mostly because people
don't
read
it,
my
don't
books.
Don't do it. People are mad. People just are sitting with your book and a bin. The woman threw it in the bin and wrote her review. I have just thrown this book in the bin. I was like, okay, I don't know why.
Don't read the book off the internet. That's the rule.
I wouldn't invite anyone to do who has it. Whatever your obviously, whatever your review, you're entitled to it.
During lockdown, be kind to authors. If you don't like it, you just tell a friend. You don't need to tell the internet. You don't need to tag them in. That's what I say. During lockdown, don't tag anyone in. Tell
yeah, just gossip with your neighbours over the fence.
Yeah, like we used
this
to do
is
in
not
the old
cruel
days.
To the,
in the old
the
days,
gossip-y.
You say, I think this book's rubbish. You wouldn't find the author in the street, go up and go, I think this book is rubbish. Bring back
but
the
most
old
people,
days.
I find most people just want acknowledgement that they have said something to you.
Yes.
I'm like, are you sure?
And it is.
Are you sure?
Coming off Twitter is your goal for this week, I think. Stay on Instagram.
Yeah.
You're a hero on Instagram. If you're not following at Raven Smith on Instagram, you're missing out. I think we're coming up to our hour. We're going to get kicked off. So I'm going to say thank you so much, Raven Smith. You've been a wonderful new normal guest. Finally, if you get out of lockdown, what's the first thing you're going to do? What are you desperate to do?
Do you know what? There's no bath here, so I'm going to have a bath in my house.
Nice.
That is like, that's it.
Well, no, I'll join you because you know that's my brand.
I'll house party you from the
FaceTime
bath.
FaceTime me when you're in the bath.
I will.
Let's do a little WhatsApp. So I'm getting in the bath, you get in the bath, and we'll WhatsApp each other.
Okay, fun. It'll be my first time in my new bath.
I'll be very excited.
Thank you so much for having me.
And it's been an utter delight. You can see me reading Raven Smith's book in the bath on my Instagram. It's called Doing Lines with Raven Smith. And I read a piece, but also go to his Instagram and see other people who are more famous than me reading his book, including our mutual friend, Russell Tovey. So do that ASAP and buy the book Trivial Pursuit. Next week, I've got some incredible guests. The two that spring to mind immediately are Siobhan McSweeney, who plays Sister Michael in Derry Girls, and Jamie Lee, who plays Michelle in Derry Girls. I think they're
amazing.
Monday, Friday bookends. But there's lots of other beautiful, brilliant guests next week. We'll make a story of that and get it up so that you can see everybody. Don't forget to check out whatever Raven Smith's t-shirt ends up being, but probably Friendly but Militant. I think people would buy that. Hannah from the merch store will decide, and 100% of the profits will go to Raven. And please,
thank you.
Buy it because he's got to buy carpet.
Oh, so true.
Raven, it's been absolutely delightful. Thank you so
Thanks
much for coming
so
on
much.
The New Normal. It's been brilliant.
It's been fantastic. Thanks for having me. Have a great bath.
This is going to go on Instagram live now, and then it'll be on YouTube, so you can direct people to it. And by doing so, you sell so many books. We've dropped off because people know it goes to 7, and then they put their children to bed or something. I think they do.
Yeah.
Love you all. Bye-bye. Have a lovely weekend, everybody.
See you later.
Bye, Raven.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.